Today's episode of Vital Voices is brought to you in part by Oaktree Medical Center, Kalina Insurance Limited, and Valor Security. Welcome to Vital Voices, the podcast where we bring expert insights to help you live a healthier, more fulfilling life. I'm your host, Alexis Burrows, and today we're diving into a topic that affects every one of us, relationships. Whether it's with a partner, a family member, a friend, or even a colleague, our relationships shape our well-being. But how do we know if a relationship is truly healthy? Joining me today are two incredible experts, Dr. Davina Knowles Robinson and Dr. Tamika Johnson Dames, both psychiatrists from Oaktree Medical Center. Together, we'll be breaking down the subtle and obvious signs of healthy and unhealthy relationships, how to maintain strong and fulfilling connections, and how to navigate those that may be doing us more harm than good. So if you've ever questioned whether a relationship in your life is lifting you up or holding you back, this episode is for you. So let's get into it. Welcome back to the show, ladies. Y'all are becoming quite the regulars around here. We obviously it's February, it's Love Month, it's Valentine's season. So we've done one or two episodes where we wanted to kind of get into relationships. We had Harrison on a few weeks back talking about attachment styles, and that was more so in the romantic space. But we realized there's all different types of relationships, right? And whether it's a platonic relationship or romantic relationship, a work relationship, there are signs that your relationship is either healthy or unhealthy. And it's important that people are able to recognize those signs and navigate what can sometimes be very muddy or difficult waters as it pertains to relationships, relationship health. So, you know, how do you define, from your perspective as an expert, how do you define a healthy relationship? And then does that definition vary across the different types of relationship, whether it's romantic, family, platonic? You know, how does that work?
I think there we have to look at the foundation, and any type of relationship should be built on the same type of foundation, whether it is boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, children, your kids, any your friendships, your work relationships. They should all be built kind of on the same foundation. That's one, mutual respect. If you don't respect your person, your partner, your friend, the relationship isn't going to flourish. It's not going to get into anything. And with respect comes trust. Because if I don't trust you as a person, then we're getting into that, what's in vogue now, toxic space. Because once that trust bridge is broken, the relationship tends to crumble. And then that leads to a healthy communication. Because if you're in this space with somebody and you're not talking, you don't know why this person is giving you the cold shoulder because you're not talking to, and communication isn't only verbal.
Right.
To know your partner, to know the person that you're in this relationship with, communication is nonverbal too. So healthy communication, healthy trust, healthy respect is all in the terms of being a healthy relationship.
And that's regardless of whether it's romantic, platonic, family.
Correct.
It's the same across the board.
Yes.
Okay. So I think that kind of blends into our next question is, you know, what are some of the, because sometimes you have subtle signs and then sometimes you have obvious signs. So what are some of the subtle and obvious signs of a healthy relationship?
So one of the things that I thought about when you started to mention the question about subtle and obvious signs, you know, in today's age, the young people have this thing, we listen and we don't judge. So a relationship where persons know that that is someone that they can go to and talk about absolutely anything, because you don't feel as though you'll be chastised or condemned. Now, quite different from being able to talk to someone and they are correcting you in love. Because it's, you know, it's not that you will go to somebody and say, well, this is what I want to do and this is how I feel. And they say, okay, well, I'm not judging you. But sometimes you can not judge but still offer constructive criticism. So that's one sign. A relationship where you can tell that there's genuine happiness and peace when those two parties are in each other's space. you know, there are some relationships where you're like, oh Lord, they always rowing. Mm-hmm. She's so these that always, they always like, what are they even, do they even like each other? Mm-hmm. So sometimes you can sense the energy in a relationship. I sure you can sense that Vina and I are friends. So, you know, when you can sense that there's genuine care and trust and, like she said, respect, mm-hmm. where the communication is healthy. And then a relationship where you can tell that these two people are there for each other in times of need. Mm-hmm. So I know that being adults in our professional lives, you find that your friends, you're not hanging out with them every single day, mm-hmm. Unless you work in the same space.
Right.
But you know that persons that are your friends, your close family members, even close colleagues, that if you ever need them, they're going to be there. Right. And so those are some of the things that you can definitely see and tell when you look at what is a healthy relationship.
And relationships change too, because if you've been talking about friendships, the friendships that you built maybe in high school and college and those type of things, they change over the years. And that doesn't mean you're less of a friend. Mm-hmm. It's just, so things you talk about in terms of being in that same space, mm-hmm. it takes, we have three other friends that are pretty close to us, mm-hmm. right? It takes us literally 4 months to plan to make sure that everybody has the same schedule, mm-hmm. and we're all in the same space. But that doesn't mean we're less than friends.
Who has a babysitter?
Right. If we all want to be in that same space,
it requires coordination.
Real planning. Mm-hmm. Real coordination. And so there are times where, like, you know, it's two or three of us in one space and then another two in another space. But for the five of us to get together,
it takes work.
Yeah.
Like, our secret Santas are now pushed to, like, February.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's supposed to be in December, but mm-hmm. because the December schedule is so wrapped up with family life mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. all the other things that you have to do in your career, mm-hmm. it gets very difficult to plan accordingly.
But and there's so, an understanding, though. Right. So everybody is aware of what it takes. And so we understand if somebody can't make it or mm-hmm. you're too busy.
And that's different from, like, childhood when you're like, well, why can't you spend time with me? No one's judging you because we understand you have other obligations.
That's the thing too, because it's like, you know, a part of it is just the stages and the phases of life, right? So it's like when everybody's coming back from college at the same time and you're free as a bird because nobody's working, you're just here for a couple of weeks. It's a lot easier to do that get together than when you have spouses and children and responsibilities and work and all of those things.
Right.
And then I think sometimes too, it becomes interesting because, you know, as friends change at different paces. So it's like, you know, you might have that friend that got married and had kids young. And so their dynamic changes earlier than maybe others in the friend group. And that kind of changes how that looks as well. So there's all of those things that I think people have to take into consideration. And it's a maturity thing, right? Recognizing that, well, just because I can't just come and swing by your house, or we can't just, you know, go out to dinner or go to a concert whenever we want, doesn't mean that we're not friends, right? Yeah. So let's look at the other side of it then. What are some key red flags to look for that are markers of an unhealthy relationship? And why are they sometimes often, I guess, overlooked? Because it's something you mentioned, like, in the subtlety, right? So it's like, I think we all, generally speaking, have, well, let me not speak for everybody. I know I have a predisposition for people watching, right? And so it's like, I'll be in certain settings where I'll see a husband and wife, for example, and it's like, they never hold hands. Mm-hmm. You never see affection. You never seen as like, but your relationship, clearly there's something wrong there. Right?
Oh,
right.
Yeah. Me and my husband do that all the time. If we go to dinner, we are people watchers. Like, we judge. it's not a judgment free. Like, we're judging. And it's like, did you see that couple? They literally spoke, they did not speak to one another the entire thing. Like, this one has been on her phone, and he is just, like, we went to Nesbitt's one time, and the lady literally, until the food came, played Candy Crush the entire time, did not speak to her spouse. And I'm just like, this is painful. Like, I guess, does that speak to my relationship? We're on our date, like, watching somebody else. But, like, no, I mean, it's the obvious. Like, mm-hmm. you can't help but to look up and see.
Mm. Right, what you see.
Right. But in terms of other red flags, manipulation. We use the term in the young community, because I'm now claiming that I'm young.
Screaming.
that I gets misused, the gaslighting, right? Where you're telling somebody they are trying to manipulate that person to be who you want them to be and try to say, well, this is what I want from you and you're not doing this, so you're X or you're Y, right? So using somebody's pitfalls and trying to manipulate them to be who you want them to be. Another thing is lack of communication. Like I said, that is the one of the foundation blocks. But if you're not talking to the person, or you're going to say that you're having date night, but you're not even engaging, like, what's the point? Just to say that you checked it off of the bucket list.
Right. And earlier you had spoken about disrespect. So when it comes to relationships, there are times that we're not perfect. Mm-hmm. So obviously your partner may do something, say something that you don't like, something that offends you. Mm-hmm. And so if you address that issue and you find that, okay, there's a sorry, but it's not followed up with any change in behavior or any attempts to change, then that's also a negative space for a relationship, because you're going to have that same argument over and over and over and over and over again with no correction. And that's just not in intimate relationships, even in friendships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because like Dr. Dames had spoken about earlier, we are friends. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I feel like we spend maybe 50% of the week together. Mm-hmm. Because we work together, we go to the gym together. We do a lot of things together, and if we're not specifically together, we're on the phone talking on the drive in traffic, right? But even through that, it's being having a healthy relationship comes through communication. So there are times where we're not on the same page. Mm-hmm. She might do things that irk me, and I might do things that irk her, but a healthy relationship is being able to communicate the disrespect or the thing that didn't make you feel good inside. Mm-hmm. And like she said, now it's up to that person to now change the habit. So if I've now communicated to you, mm-hmm. this is something that I don't like, and now you're still doing it, then
if nothing changes,
that's going to cause a wedge in the relationship. Because yes, communication is one thing, but the level of loud disrespect is another thing. So if you're not changing your ways, and I'm not saying you have to change who you are, because there are going to be times in a conversation where you're like, I don't like X, Y, and Z about something. But then you now to the space of, we could agree to disagree, because I see what you're saying, but that will never be me.
Right.
And that, I think that comes with maturity as well.
And communication.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that I think is something that people say it all the time, but it's worth repeating that, I guess, communication being such a foundational part of a healthy relationship, and therefore it becomes an easy marker of if the relationship is unhealthy. What about gray areas? Because sometimes, you know, people might feel like they're not sure where their relationship is. They're not sure if it's in the healthiest place or it's unhealthy. And they're not, like, how do people kind of navigate the signs that may say, well, and how do they navigate out of that gray space?
So that's a tricky one, because mm-hmm. I think the gray area for one relationship may be different for another relationship. So while, let's say if I'm a person, I really like, you know, when we talk about love languages mm-hmm. in a romantic relationship, I might be someone that says, well, I like to receive gifts. That's tingsy. My love language. I'm tingsy, and I think if you love me, you should buy me stuff. Mm-hmm. But my partner may show love in a different way. So mm-hmm. they may show love by acts of service. Do they not love me? They do love me, but in that space of you're trying to understand my love language mm-hmm. and I am trying to understand how you show love versus mm-hmm. how I receive love, sometimes it can put up a wall, because you may feel like, well, do you even love me? Because I tell you I like things mm-hmm. and you're not buying me things. Mm-hmm. But this person is giving it their all in terms of acts of service. So sometimes that gray area can just stem from people trying to learn each other.
Right.
And, you know, if it is a relationship with mutual love and respect and trust and healthy communication, that's something that you can overcome. Mm-hmm. But then there's a difference when someone isn't showing love at all. And it's like, what am I fighting for? Mm-hmm. Why am I still here? Yeah. So I think it depends. It depends on the situation. The scale can be tipped either way.
Mm-hmm. And that's understanding boundaries, too, because at the end of the day, it comes into the parental relationship, right? Mm-hmm. Where, especially in our community, you're supposed to listen to your parents, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right, et cetera, right? But it comes tricky when now I'm living in my own house, and yes, I do respect you, mm-hmm. But you're not going to abuse me to this point either. Yes, I'm going to listen to you, but mm-hmm. I don't have to do everything you're saying right. to me to do because you're my parent. And that goes for my spouse, my whatever it is, mm-hmm. because I have my own personal boundaries. Mm-hmm. And it's going against who I feel like I am.
Right.
And so understanding, like, it's not, I'm not trying to disrespect you, mm-hmm. but I have my own belief. And right. so at this point, we need to have this agree to disagree.
Right.
I'm not a child. You're not going to disrespect me in that way either. Mm-hmm. But I love you, mm-hmm. so this is coming from a place of love, but I have to pour into my own cup right yeah. now, too.
I saw something online. At some point in the last few months, there's a pastor who was talking, I think it was at either a man's or a marriage conference, and he made the point that, you know, when the Bible says that you leave and cleave, you know, people like to say when people get married, it's like, oh, you know, I gained a son or I gained a daughter. And he was like, no, you didn't.
Right.
You didn't.
Right.
Your child gained a spouse and they've right. created a new family. And that is now a separate branch in its entirety. And they have to decide how they run their family
right.
as it pertains between, you know, husband, wife, children, and how right. they navigate that whole structure. And I think it's a salient point because it goes to, like you said, culturally, even deep into marriage relationships, you will have parents feeling like, you know, well, you should listen to what,
should
I,
do
say,
what I say.
But it's like,
no,
that is still very much your child, but they're also now an adult who has their own family
right.
and they have to manage that process as they see fit between them and their spouse. And so that's, I think that's a helpful point in that as well, because you're not gaining.
No.
And if anything, you're losing to some degree
right.
an element of your child to now this new family.
And now
structure.
They're an adult and they
yeah.
have their own thing going.
Right? And a lot of mothers don't like to lose.
Oh boy.
That's a different topic for another day.
Yeah.
So let's move on to because I think we've talked about communication and boundaries a little bit. You know, let's dive a little bit deeper into that. You know. What is, because I think we've already established the importance of communication to a healthy relationship. So let's move into like, what are some strategies that can help improve it? So if you're having communication issues, what are some ways that you can go about trying to solve that?
So like I said earlier, communication isn't just about what you say. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's your body language. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it is you just listening and not being able to rebut. Mm-hmm. So you're now listening to take it in, to receive it, see what I can do differently. And it's your actions that show that, hey, I am listening to what you're saying. Mm-hmm. So if I tell you, I don't like you to go to bed and there are dishes in the sink. Mm-hmm. And yet I wake up tomorrow morning, you already had your late night snack and there are multiple dishes in the sink. I'm going to be triggered because we just had this conversation last night. Like, are you listening to what I'm like? Yeah, you heard me. And yeah, we had a conversation about it. But what did you do to rectify the situation? And no, Rome wasn't built in a day. So I don't expect you to get it right all the time. But if I said it last night, mm-hmm. can we have some give the next day?
Right.
Then it's you not being closed-minded. So yes, you're having this conversation mm-hmm. and you're saying the things that you don't like, but you have to give the opportunity for that person to give you feedback too.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd be open to hear what somebody else says because you can't control the narrative all
right.
the time. So if you feel like you could criticize me, I should be able to do the same to you healthy mm-hmm. and not in a disrespectful way. But I have feelings and concerns too.
Right.
And you have to hear that person out. And then it's the check-in. So yes, you said this maybe 4 or 5 months ago. And so I'll go back to me and Tamika's relationship, right? There is something that she used to do that she doesn't do anymore because I expressed to her, like, I really don't like.
I already know what you're about to talk about.
When you do X, right? And so the thing is, if we're on the phone and now she leaves the car and, like, I'm mid-conversation and I'm, like, into the antics. Anyway, I'll call you back. Excuse me? I'm very passionate right now. I like, you're
yeah,
not.
Yeah, just leave me hanging.
Yeah, like, who else am I going to vent this story to? And then, so I'm like, okay, I think 1 or 2 times passed, and I'm just like, you know what really grinds my gears? I'm not really one that's very expressive. I let you vent all the time. If I'm venting, I need you to, like,
let me get it all out.
Yes, I don't want to say it in stages. Like, I'm having a moment with you.
Mm-hmm.
Please indulge my moment.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a time where she got to work. She's sitting in the car. I'm like, why didn't you go inside yet? I'm letting you have your moment.
So now she's questioning me like, what are you doing? I'm in my car. So you're going in the house? You're talking. I didn't want to interrupt you.
I'm like, going in the house.
That's it. Like, so, you know, I think too, it's about understanding. Because then she's like, but why are you just sitting in the car? Like, and you're already home. And I'm like, but you're talking. If I go in the house, I'm going to be distracted by this, that, and the next thing. I don't want to hear your mouth. I'm being a good friend here. Right. Now that I'm being a good friend. So I think this was a lesson for her too. If you ask someone to change, stop questioning them when they change.
Right.
It is interesting because, you know, sometimes you're not prepared for, and I think because we see so much toxic relationships, whether it's friend, family, love, whatever, we're so accustomed to that that sometimes when we ask of people to change, we have to be prepared for them to actually change.
Right.
Because we're so used to people not changing. We're so used to people like...
I'm such a good friend.
Right.
And to that same point, it's acknowledging the change too. Right. Because it's like, you've asked somebody to do something, give them their flowers. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid. And she does that too. Like, didn't you see that I did X, Y, and Z a thing? And I'm like, sorry, can I give you a pat on the back? Because yes, you deserve a cookie and a gold star right now. I'm so sorry. So regular check-ins to be like, yes, I acknowledge the change here and I truly appreciate that. And I think the person who's doing it now feels more compelled to do it because it's like, you acknowledge, you said, and here we are.
I have a question though, because you mentioned in the early part of your answer, like, listening without thinking about defense. How, because I hear people talk about that, and it's a struggle that a lot of people have, is that when you, especially when you get into something that may be heated or a passionate conversation, how does someone navigate that communication if their immediate reaction is, okay, how do I defend myself? Because this person, it feels like I'm being attacked. Right. So how do you help? Because that's a very like poignant, direct issue that people
and
have.
And I'm happy you brought that up, because when she mentioned active listening, like, that's where my head went, because that's something that I struggle with. Mm-hmm. If we are having a conversation, an argument, and you start to say something that I absolutely disagree with, I get so heated and so passionate that I feel like I need to respond to that now for two reasons. One, because I can't stand to hear you say something that I think is a lie. Two, I don't want to forget in my my memory is piss poor. So, like, I don't want, unless I'm going to sit down and write points, like, I don't want to forget to respond to that thing because I don't agree with it. And I struggle with that. And I think it takes practice. There is no way, because, you know, we're driven, we're human beings, we're driven by emotions. So there's no way that someone can be in the middle of an emotionally charged conversation and find it so easy to just sit and smile and nod. You're going to be tempted to respond automatically and to come up with your rebuttal and to give it on the spot, but it takes practice.
Yeah,
it does.
It definitely does. And so, like, for me, I am more of a critical person by nature. So I've been in relationships where I've exploded, and obviously those didn't work out because my mouth could get very
sticky,
sharp, very sharp. And I'm not coming to like give you a little poke. I'm coming to throw the dagger in your heart and be very mean.
Right.
So through age, I became that person where I'm like, okay, let me process this. Let me take it back. Let me think about it. However, I've not worked on my physical emotions. So it's wearing on my face. It's wearing on my body language. I am pissed, but I need a moment because if I say what I want to say, I'm not nice.
Right.
And so, like, my husband, he would be like, well, what's wrong? Oh, nothing. He already knows that there's a huge elephant in the space because I'm stinking. Like, my body language is given, like, don't touch me. Like, let me process this. Mm-hmm. And so now it's 2 o'clock in the morning because I have this philosophy. I'm not going to bed angry. Mm-hmm. But his mind is, you're not going to bed angry, but it's 2 o'clock. I've already been snoring for the last 3 hours. Like, but now you want to talk about it and you want me to engage completely. I'm like, yeah. So, like, the whole active listening thing is like, let me process first because I don't want to be stinking. And that's my way of being a little bit more receptive to listening to whatever your point of view is. But, like, I get in that same vein, it comes with practice as well of being able to just.
I do think it's helpful too, though. Like, sometimes, you know, like from a man's perspective, I have to write things down. So I think the point of like you said, like, you know, do you write it down? Sometimes you might need to. Sometimes it's helpful to, and maybe that's a conversation you have with your partner. Hey, listen, you want the best out of this? Allow me to, like, take notes, because this is the only way that I can be sure. And it's not because you don't care, but it's just like, it's because you care that you want to make sure you have everything and you're keeping stock of it. And that's something that I saw, again, people talk about online. It's like, you know yourself, know how you manage those processes. And if you need to do that, then do that. So like, I know I'm a lot better in communication through writing than even through speech, especially when it gets to like complex and passionate topics, because again, I don't want to necessarily blurt out something that is just in the heat of the moment that, you know, may not represent my true feelings or my heart. And so it's that same kind of process that you have to think through, like, okay, so how do I do this in a way that is healthy? But then it's, I think a lot of it goes back to that communication point. Just say, hey, I need to do this in order to make sure that I'm loving you the best way that I can.
And I used to actually do that for my dad, like when I was a child, and he would tell people this all the time. Whenever I had something to say to my father, mm-hmm. I would like, it would be this long letter, because it's just like, I want to express all of my points. Yeah, I don't want to forget it. I don't want to forget it. I want you to truly hear what I have, but I don't want to be disrespectful at the same time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so then another key point in terms of not piling it on, because who's going to be receptive in terms of actively listening if you're now saying, well, you don't do this. So it's very important to have that open communication, mm-hmm. because now it's not feeling like a pile on, because we're mm-hmm. having these conversations daily, nightly, mm-hmm. and you're seeing how I feel, as opposed to, I'm going to wait until the end of the month or the end of the week, and now I have this laundry list of things that you did not do. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be more of a heated argument, because now it's like, oh, you're just complaining about everything. I'm not doing anything right. Yeah. So who's listening to that?
And then you're going to feel particularly attacked at that point, right. if it's like a list of 10 or 15 things when it might have been one thing in the moment.
Right.
And then that's the thing too. Sometimes when you have things that are unexpressed, other things that may not have been as big of a deal now feel a lot bigger.
Ruminating in your brain. You're just
sitting on that first thing that has not been addressed.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back. Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oak Tree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oak Tree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oak Tree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oak Tree Surgical Suites, top of the hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring, compassionate, complete.
Pay your premiums anytime, anywhere, 24/7 with Galena's online payment portal. View payment history, set up recurring payments, download receipts for your life, health, auto, home, and marine policies. Got outstanding balances? Check them online and pay instantly. Guests can even pay for their loved ones' policies. Save time today by registering for fast, easy payments every time you log in. Visit Kalina.com to pay today. Kalina, always here, always open, 24/7.
Discover the ultimate in personalized healthcare with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your health needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 816-4-OPP, that's 816-4677, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Primary Plus. Are you down with OPP? Valor Security. Our brand is honor. With quality services and professional treatment, we provide security you can trust. Whether it's protecting your home, securing your business, or safeguarding schools and construction sites, we're here day and night to keep you safe. From private event security to personalized escorts and expert consultations, our team is committed to excellence. Choose Valor Security, where honor, professionalism, and peace of mind go hand in hand. Call us today at 359-2005 or 605-7424 for security solutions tailored to your needs.
Ladies, at Oak Tree Medical Center, your health is our priority. From early detection to advanced treatment options, our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. with locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI, top of the hill Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram movement continues. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center, caring, compassionate, complete.
Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation.
So you mentioned also earlier the concept of boundaries, and I know there's a lot out there. I know there's a particular book that talks about, that's very good about talking about setting boundaries and navigating boundaries in relationships, whether it's, you know, platonic, work, love, the whole nine, family. What role do boundaries play in healthy relationships, and how can someone establish them effectively?
So when we talk about boundaries, and you know, everyone has different boundaries. Mm-hmm. When we talk about having boundaries and being firm with your boundaries, it ensures that you're getting the best out of any relationship. Mm-hmm. If you don't have any boundaries that are set, that you stick to, you find that you will sway with whatever the person in the next person in the relationship dictates. Mm-hmm. And that's going to leave you feeling very unhappy, very unsatisfied. And if I'm not happy, how can I possibly make you happy?
Right.
If no one is pouring into my cup, mm-hmm. how am I going to continue to pour into yours? Because I'm going to run empty.
Right.
So I think establishing boundaries allows everybody to get what they need out of the relationship.
And consistency is key. You can't say mm-hmm. today that my boundary is X, and this is where my line is drawn in the mm-hmm. sand. And then tomorrow, you live in your life and with a different boundary. So it's like, how does that person navigate the space if you're okay today and then tomorrow you're wishy-washy? Mm-hmm. But the boundaries that are very important is because we don't want to develop things like depression, anxiety, et cetera, mm-hmm. because those are where they stem from. Because now I'm overextending. I'm mm-hmm. making myself available when it's just like, it's okay to say no.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay to say no to your friends, to your partner, to your parents. So I saw this meme the other day too. It was like, well, you're not answering your phone, but I could see you online because this is my phone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I have the capacity right now to doom scroll because that's what I feel like. I don't want to talk to you. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear your problems. I don't have the capacity for that right now. Mm-hmm. What I have the capacity for is to be in my bed mm-hmm. and scroll mm-hmm. because it's my phone. Yeah. Right?
I'm gonna call you back. I'm not because I can't talk. I just don't want to.
Right. Like I saw another meme that says, well, you didn't answer me on the drive, and that was where I had my 30 minutes. Mm. I'm home now. Mm-hmm. So I'm now on home mode, and the rest of the day is done.
Right.
So we'll talk again tomorrow.
Understood. You know, I think one of the things that happens, too, when you go through the process of setting boundaries is like, you know, what happens if the person on the other side of that boundary starts to push back? How do you navigate or how do you respond if your boundaries are challenged?
Again, the consistency, you mm-hmm. keep reaffirming, like you, I said this yesterday, and mm-hmm. I mean this, like, I get that you don't feel that same way about this thing,
right?
But this is where I'm at, mm-hmm. like, again, talking about the home life, after listening to everybody else's woes, I am now beat down. Mm-hmm. So once I get home, everybody knows that for that first 30 minutes, the door is closed, I'm mm-hmm. going to take a shower because I'm going to wash off the day, mm-hmm. do not call mommy, 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 honey, baby. The door is closed. Give me my 30 minutes. When the door is reopened, here I am. I'm able to serve. Like, there are certain days where you can get that.
Right.
But if you know that that is being done, mm-hmm. that's it.
For those 30 minutes,
yeah.
It takes us back to the point that we made earlier about the gray area. Mm-hmm. So you find that you're in a relationship and your boundaries are constantly being challenged.
Right.
No one respects your boundaries or you don't respect the person's boundaries, it won't work because mm-hmm. there's always going to be tension and conflict.
That's the thing, you know, I think what you'll find over time too, though, is if you keep consistent with your boundaries, eventually people will either respect them or if they're not willing to abide by your boundaries, they will slowly filter out of your life. And, you know, that this is just how these things play out. You know, healthy relationships is obviously a give and take. I think that's already been mentioned. But what does mutual support look like in different types of relationship? And how do you foster a mutual support in a relationship?
So we spoke about different types of relationships. So mm-hmm. specific to romantic relationships, being emotionally available. So it might not necessarily be giving the things or doing certain things, but just being able to say, well, if you need this shoulder, I am here. If it's just to be in the same space, what is it? What do you need in this moment? And being emotionally supportive to that person.
Right.
As it pertains to familial or platonic relationships, sharing responsibilities. Like, I was just on a trip recently and there was another couple and he was expressing how in terms of the family role, everybody comes to him if they need something. He's in the construction business. And even though they were coming, they're coming to him for all the monetary needs, when they're building their house, they go on to another contractor, they're going to a different place. So it's just like, so am I just the money tree? But it should be a shared role. If I, if you see me as this provider, then provide to my business too. It should be a very mutualistic respect. Sharing that responsibility, even in the difficult times. Because it's not always going to be one person sharing, I mean, taking all the load. It should just be a shared respect.
And I think an important thing too, when we look at mutual support, I guess is a different way of looking at it. When it comes to relationships, we mentioned our the dynamics of our friend circle. It takes everyone to be willing to keep a relationship going. So it can't just be that one person is always the one to reach out and say, hey guys, do you want to meet up? Do you want to plan this event?
That gets
it has
draining.
To be everybody that is interested in meeting up. Everyone has to be interested in setting time aside to reconnect and to catch up. So I think that's one thing that when we look at mutual support, it's mutually giving of your time and your energy and your effort into strengthening a relationship.
I say this often. The phone goes two ways. If you expect me to just do all the reaching out, the calling, that's draining. Like if I feel like that's just my role, then more times than not, I'm going to step back because I've done that in a few relationships because at the end, I've tested relationships in that same way. I'm like, it started off like, let me see if I don't call for this week, if I will talk. Then that week turned into a month. And I'm like, you know what? That made me to reevaluate the relationship because I'm like, I'm the person that's pouring into this relationship. Now that I've taken a step back from this,
it almost doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. And I'm okay with that because if I'm just a giver, I need something poured back into me.
Right.
So it's understanding that too, that it needs to be a shared responsibility.
And obviously another big part of healthy relationships is navigating conflict. What are healthy ways to resolve conflicts, especially if it's in a particularly like high stakes or emotionally charged situation?
If you want to resolve the conflict, it has to be about the resolution and not the conflict. So it has to be about not bashing this person, not belittling this person. I want resolution. So this is my feeling, my point, but I'm not doing it at all costs just to win the argument. I want to resolve. So listening actively without trying to now look for a point to beat up on that person too.
Yeah, and I'm very solutions driven. So sometimes I find that in relationships, you can get so burdened down with everybody proving a point and everybody trying to state their case that you lose sight of, well, what is the end goal? The purpose of this argument is to get to point Z. So why are we still going to argue back and forth about A and B when we have the rest of the alphabet to get through? So I find that if you focus on, okay, this is what we want. How can we accomplish this goal, like Davina said, instead of focusing on arguing out your point, then...
So it's like using terms like, I feel this way when you do X, Y, Z. Not you or you, you, I'm blaming you. You are such a bad person. You do this, you do that. I hate this about you. No, I feel this way because of X.
And knowing yourself, if you know that you are a person that can get very mouthy when you are upset, it is okay to tell the person, hey, can we revisit this in another 20 minutes? Like, just let me clear my head. And then also being respectful of that person and not pushing them to engage in a conversation when they're not ready. Because if you telling me, I don't want to talk about it right now, and I still, well, no, but I'm ready to talk, then I'm going to get that mouth.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think the flip side of that too is if you tell someone, hey, I need 20 minutes, respect the 20 minutes and actually come back to the conversation. Don't say I need 20 minutes and then 2 weeks pass. because you know you have that as well. You can't just use it as an out of the conversation. You have to actually one of the other things I think that comes up too, especially for relationships that start in adolescence and early adulthood, is people grow and they change over time. Mm-hmm. And I think it's an interesting one because you have, like you said, obviously you guys are friends. You know, how have you been able to grow together while maintaining your individuality? Because like you said, you spend a lot of time together because you work together, you're close friends, you know, the families interact. But how do you and how would you advise other people, you know, on maintaining their individuality while growing together, whether it's a friendship, a romantic relationship, family? How does that look?
So you have to encourage your friendships. You encourage their personal growth. Mm-hmm. So my high school friends, I still have a few of them, mm-hmm. and we're not in the same workspace.
Right.
So it's acknowledging their growth and what their space looks like, mm-hmm. because I have a friend that lives in Atlanta, and so her career is different from my career here, mm-hmm. but it's tapping in maybe every so often and being like, okay, this is what you're doing. She's running a school, so sewing into that mm-hmm. space and encouraging that dynamic, knowing what her children are doing,
right.
checking in that space and not making it all about you.
Mm-hmm.
And in the same way, I see a lot of times people get competitive if you're in the same space.
Right.
It's not about a competition if you're my friend. I mm-hmm. want you to win.
Mm-hmm.
If you are doing something big in that space, I'm going to be there and I'm going to be in the crowd being your biggest cheerleader.
Right.
Yes, again, checking my own biases. Like, there would be times, especially if you're in the same space, that you now get that imposter syndrome. Like, oh, why isn't it me? Then mm-hmm. you have to check yourself. That has mm-hmm. nothing to do with your friend.
Right.
So it's like you're now saying, well, is she better? No. Be supportive of your friend. Like, mm-hmm. it's her space. It's her moment. Let her win. And right. that's okay, too.
So let's go on to the unhealthy side of the coin and navigating unhealthy relationships. One of the things that people often talk about in relationships, and I think it's been a particular point that started to pop up online recently as well, is this concept of cycles and patterns. So what are some patterns or cycles that typically emerge in unhealthy relationships, and how can you disrupt them?
So given that this week is Valentine's Day,
mm-hmm.
I do want to address something that I hear a lot of people joke about, where your partner or your significant other does something,
mm-hmm.
and every time they do something, there's a gift or there's a token. And so then it becomes a cycle of, I do you wrong, but then I kind of help to sweep things under the carpet by mm-hmm. gift giving.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people recognize that. On a regular day, on a good day, I can't get no flowers.
Mm-hmm.
But when you know that you've done me wrong, all of a sudden I get this beautiful bouquet. Why can't I get nice things just because?
Mm-hmm.
And why is it that you always have to do something where you got to make it up to me? So that's one very unhealthy thing
mm-hmm.
to do, where you kind of manipulate people into staying with you, because instead of actually changing your behavior, you repair things with gift giving.
Right.
Which could be tricky for someone that likes gifts.
Right. Yeah, it could be a little problematic for you.
Yeah, because who's going to say no to gifts? But then you still have to recognize, well, so this is a cycle now. Because every time I get something, it's in response to something else.
Are you just using my love language against me?
That.
Right.
That. Very unhealthy.
And then there's the cycle of you always picking up the bad stuff. Like,
mm-hmm.
you're telling this person, well, you don't do this. So you're communicating effectively. Like,
mm-hmm.
I'm pointing out when you don't do well, but why don't you ever uplift that person?
Right.
When they're doing good stuff, you're not mm-hmm. saying, well, babe, you did a very good job here.
Mm-hmm.
Or to your friend, you're not to their conference when they're now the speaker, but yet you're telling them, well, you should have left that man years ago. Like, why can't you
right.
support me when I'm in my winning season, too?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's important.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors and we'll be right back. Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oak Tree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oak Tree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oak Tree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oak Tree Surgical Suites, top of the hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring, compassionate, complete.
Pay your premiums anytime, anywhere, 24/7 with Galena's online payment portal. View payment history, set up recurring payments, download receipts for your life, health, auto, home, and marine policies. Got outstanding balances? Check them online and pay instantly. Guests can even pay for their loved ones' policies. Save time today by registering for fast, easy payments every time you log in. Visit Kalina.com to pay today. Kalina, always here, always open, 24/7.
Discover the ultimate in personalized healthcare with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your health needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 816-4-OPP, that's 816-4677, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Primary Plus. Are you down with OPP? Valor Security. Our brand is honor. With quality services and professional treatment, we provide security you can trust. Whether it's protecting your home, securing your business, or safeguarding schools and construction sites, we're here day and night to keep you safe. From private event security to personalized escorts and expert consultations, our team is committed to excellence. Choose Valor Security, where honor, professionalism, and peace of mind go hand in hand. Call us today at 359-2005 or 605-7424 for security solutions tailored to your needs.
Ladies, at Oak Tree Medical Center, your health is our priority. From early detection to advanced treatment options, our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI, top of the hill Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram movement continues. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring. Compassionate. Complete.
Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation.
When do you know when it's time to seek professional help or any sort of help?
I like to use the mantra, if you go for an annual physical every year, why aren't you just checking in with your psychiatrist every year? Mm-hmm. So if you were doing those check-ins,
right.
When these things are happening, that's something that could be explored, and then maybe the annual needs to be done every month because we actually see a problem. Mm-hmm. But if you're feeling the burden, so another answer, I guess, would be anytime's a good time to talk to a professional.
Right.
And for some people, you know, talking especially to a stranger for the first time can be a little off-putting. I've definitely had persons that I was seeing for, you know, a variety of reasons. And then they mentioned, do you think I could bring my spouse in, or mm-hmm. could I bring my boyfriend in? We're having some challenges and maybe you can help us to kind of mediate. Mm-hmm. So it may not necessarily be that you are fixing the problem for them, but at least providing them with a space where they can effectively communicate without the argument mm-hmm. and everyone can be able to get their point across without getting lost in a big blowout, you know. Right. So I find that if you realize that we can't communicate mm-hmm. just the two of us, then maybe it's time to bring someone else in.
To mediate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What can people expect if they come in for therapy or counseling? Like what is some of the expectations they could have of coming into an environment to do that?
Just as you're going to your physician for any ailment, we're here to solve the problem or help you fix the situation, because mm-hmm. we're, like I tell my clients all the time, I'm not going home with you. Right. So I only can give you the tips and the tools to help you navigate mm-hmm. that space, but it's still up to you to put in the work. And every person, every situation is different. So it isn't a one glove fit all. So I can't necessarily say how it would look. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to get into this a little bit later, but for an example, I had this client referred from her obstetrics gynecologist. Mm-hmm. for possible postpartum depression and anxiety. Mm-hmm. She had a miscarriage. And in our conversation, we ended up talking about her marriage, which was very unhealthy. Mm-hmm. She was being abused, etc. So we navigated the escape plan in our sessions. Okay. So we went from dealing with postpartum depression to navigating throughout the year her leaving her husband in a safe way because of the situation that was at home. Mm-hmm. And so without me saying too much, it's not necessarily a one glove.
Right.
So it depends on where, so you might be coming in for one thing, mm-hmm. but depending on where our conversation leads to and how willingness and how willing and open you are to the space, we can get into something completely different. So Dr. James spoke about bringing the partner in. At that point, I didn't even want to see the partner because you don't need to be with him either. Right. Like, we don't even need to fix this relationship because we've already spoken about how he's been.
Right. You've established that this is something. This is
an unhealthy relationship.
Which is, you know, it's a good segue into our next question, which is, you know, how can someone safely and healthily exit a relationship that, you know, they've come to the point where they recognize that this is unhealthy and it's beyond repair? And sometimes, like I said, again, whether this is family, romantic, platonic, even work, like how do you navigate, you know, like you said, creating an exit strategy in circumstances like that where you've come to the realization this can't be fixed?
So if I'm using that specific example, it was us establishing, I only have you for a couple of minutes per day, per week, whatever the space is. You need to find your support outside. Who are those people that, yes, this is a very taboo topic. You know, people are going to judge you in whatever capacity. But people don't know to help when they don't know.
Right.
Because I'm like, people think maybe thinking that your situation is good when it's unhealthy as everything else.
Right.
And so when we got to that space of her figuring out who her support cycle was, it literally was one of those, like, Doc, you're right, because it's like they didn't even know. They didn't, and now that they know, like, everybody's up in arms and, like, being that link, right? Now it's like, okay, now you get the lawyer. So now I'm not in that professional space to say what the legal aspects is, but I can try to get you to think, okay, now what ducks do I need to get in a row before I leave? Okay, if you know that certain things trigger this person, try to minimize those things or, in her case, sleep in the kids' room or whatever it is to make yourself feel a little bit more safe in that space before you're able to leave. Unfortunate for her, he's a police. So it's not like you could even go to your community, which you think are supposed to protect you. But because things got so bad, when they came in that space, he showed his true side. And that was able for her to get even more legal ramifications. So it's just having those conversations. And like I said, everything is going to be different. But building your support initially is the most important thing so that you could then, you know, establish other means to get out.
So it's one thing that I do like to say to, and I would use the example of friends that I've had in the past. When it comes to leaving a relationship, I think leaving and having a clean break is important. I find that a lot of times people say that they're out of a relationship and then they're still messaging, hey, morning, how you doing? Hey, bacon.
Hey, bacon.
I only message them to say happy birthday. I only was checking in to see how him and the family doing. Leave that man alone. Leave that woman alone. If you have left a relationship, you've left probably for good reason. And this is not to say that persons that were previously involved can't still be friends.
Right.
But you've ended a relationship. And chances are there's still some feelings there. So especially if you want to move on and move forward with another relationship, still revisiting that past relationship and keeping the lines of communication open. So communication is good when you are in a relationship, but when you have left that relationship, keeping the lines of communication open is very dangerous. And it stops you from moving forward. It stops you from healing, especially if there was a lot of trauma in that relationship. It stops you from being able to fully release the emotions that you have tied to that person. So I think that is also very important, breaking free and clear.
Okay, understood. Okay, so it's interesting you mentioned a little bit earlier about people not, I guess in that same story, about people not necessarily knowing from the outside, like what it looks like on the inside. And I think that's an interesting tie into, you know, when you start to talk about social media and relationships, because a part of the issue sometimes with that is what you present on social media is this very clean, sanitized version of what your life or your relationship looks like. So that's one segment of the social media pressure. But then it's also like, you know, when you sit down and you scroll through social media, all you see is happy relationships, you know, like they're always traveling or they're always doing this or they're always on date night, and you get this sense of, wow, everything is perfect over there. How has social media impacted the dynamics of relationships in both the positive and the negative?
Yeah, so every coin has two sides. So there's positive side and the negative side of the relationship or the social media aspect of a relationship. So negatively, it creates these unrealistic expectations of, okay, if you're looking at the celebs for Valentine's Day, seeing that we're using that because that's the closest thing here, this person got, like, if you're looking at a Kylie Jenner, they're getting their whole mansion is swept away with roses. Rose bushes everywhere on the inside. It looks like a floral shop. And so you have this unexpected pressure on the relationship of what that space is supposed to look like. When then you're judging, like, well, you only got me 12 roses, or you only got me one. Like,
how mediocre.
How are you? What, do you feel like I'm basic? Am I? But no, that's showing you're loved and appreciated. And even that, it's if your partner gives you just because flowers, and now it's like, well, I'm tied into this one day because that's when you're supposed to do it. But yet now you're forgetting that just 2 days ago he got you X because that is his love language. You now are comparing, and that's never healthy.
Comparison is the thief of joy.
And it impedes that genuine communication. But the positive side of social media is I can send a meme, and that's my love language to my friend 1,000 times of the day, because now I'm thinking about you. I saw this funny thing, and who do you think I'm thinking about? It's you.
Because I shared it with you.
And so
meme sharing is very important to me.
And so connecting with people that you wouldn't as easily access because we are not in the same community. You now live halfway around the world. I'm able to talk to you relatively easily. So, I mean, there are two sides to that.
And I know people make jokes and say, oh, well, on social media, you're living a lie. It's not that people are necessarily living a lie. Sometimes they are. But I think in a lot of cases, if you are in a healthy, happy relationship, you are going to post the good things. You're not going to post and say, well, this man made me so mad last night. Let me tell you all about it. Like, in a healthy relationship, you're just not going to do that. You're not going to expose all of the flaws of your relationship. But if we go out and we go on a trip or we go to dinner and we have a nice time, like, I don't see the wrong in posting about it. Now, where it gets tricky is when your viewing audience automatically assumes that that means that all is well and that everything is perfect. So seeing happy photos, seeing family vacations, that doesn't mean that people are lying. So sometimes I get annoyed when I hear people say, oh, people living a lie. They're not living a lie. They're giving you what social media is for, a nice, cute picture. Social media is not for them to come and tell you that.
And some people do that. They do air out their dirty laundry. And then we say, well, they need to be admitted to sandalism because now they're having a bipolar rant.
And then when you've already had your effective communication and you've worked through your issues and you forgive that person,
Social media still mad.
Your family and friends are upset.
That is still out there in the street.
Exactly. They weren't a part of that mediation session. So, you know, people do what they can to protect their space and their privacy. So, I mean, you know, it's good. I love seeing a happy love story on social media. I absolutely love it. Family vacation, yes. Where did you guys go? I'd like to go there too. That sounds fun, you know.
So let's look at, you know, as we look to wrap up, some advice and resources for people to kind of take home and go through as they think about navigating their relationships moving forward. So what steps can people take to prevent their relationships from becoming unhealthy in the first place?
So we spoke about, I think, the main focus is communication. So, and it isn't just when you're upset, it's about communicating. When you had a good day too, you come home, you share the good and the bad and the indifferent. So, like, healthy communication, regular communication. maintaining that mutual support. So having a good friend circle, a good family base, healthy with the boundaries set, making sure that they respect your boundaries, you respect their boundaries, and everybody understands what everybody's boundaries look like.
Right.
And always working on yourself and your self-awareness, making sure that you check your own biases, because it isn't for somebody else to do that. Like I said, your friend is winning and you feeling a way about it, that's on you. Mm-hmm. That is not on your friend. That is on you to now check, why do I feel this way? Mm-hmm. Why am I being so jealous or judgmental? What do I need to do differently? So learning to check yourself too is very important.
Yeah. So work on yourself.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You're only really responsible for your reaction.
Correct.
Other people you can't control. You shouldn't try to control
other people.
You're responsible for your own. You know, I like to ask, especially in this space, you know, are there any resources, any books, any tools, anybody you recommend following on social media as healthy resources for someone who's working to improve their relationships?
So I'm a Harrison follower. I love Harrison on a good day during my unhealthy scrolls. I'm like, oh, what did he say? That's wild. It's crazy. I love it. But that was really good. So sometimes following people that are positive, that may shoot you some nuggets and give you some food for thought. Definitely, if it is that you are struggling with whether or not you should seek professional help. Mm-hmm. There are still resources in the community. If you're someone that goes to church, you may have elders in the church or a pastor. Mm-hmm. If you are someone in a friendship and you find that maybe my friendship is struggling and I'm a part of a wider friend circle, then maybe trying to improve your efforts to communicate with friends. Mm-hmm. As it relates to books, I can't say that I have a list of books offhand. I don't know if you do.
Atomic Habits is a very good book.
I've heard you mention that before.
Yeah, I've read it a few times, and it's very helpful in changing your habits and making your communication styles more effective. Mm-hmm. There are definitely a lot of books on self-care and how to help yourself. I wanted to shamelessly plug, because, I mean, my friend, you know, she spoke about places to go. There are many places to go, but there are two very good psychiatrists
that I know of.
Because I mean, you were talking about places to go, and I just wanted to make them remember
that
we're not just good podcast talkers. Like, we speak eloquently and we communicate.
I wanted it
to not be remiss. I'm gonna say it later, but like, reinforcement is key. Didn't we not speak about reinforcing? So Dr. Knowles Robinson and Dr. Johnson Dames, they're very good psychiatrists that you can see at Oak Tree on Collins Avenue or at South location. So there's that as well.
All right. Final thoughts. I'll give you each 60 seconds to answer this.
That's long.
I know.
That's a short. If you could give one piece of advice to anyone who is evaluating the health of their relationships right now, what would it be?
For me, I think whenever you are at a point where you have to question, that means that there's something wrong. Mm-hmm. If that person is giving you reason to believe that maybe we're in an unhealthy space, if you are uncomfortable about boundaries, that's typically the time where you know that I need to tighten up on them. Mm-hmm. If you are feeling like my relationship isn't where I want it to be, that's typically the point in which there's some work that needs to be done. Sure. So follow your own instincts. Follow the way that you feel, and that would help guide you as to what your next step should be.
Okay. Out of just not pure intuition, but in terms of checking on yourself first, because you cannot give into a relationship if you yourself are not in a good space. Mm-hmm. So it's easy to blame others. It's easy to say, well, what's going on with the relationship because of this person doing X, Y, and Z. And like we've established, and this is not just romantic relationships. Mm-hmm. These are platonic relationships, familial relationships. Sometimes it's better to look in the mirror and say, well, how can I become a better person for this relationship? I had a recent conversation with somebody that's going through their own relationship issues, and they're trying to get into another relationship. I'm like, did you work on yourself first? Because that is the key. Can you work on you and then see how you will benefit a relationship and not how a relationship will benefit you? Because you're bringing in that same trash mentality that you had in this last relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's that baggage is only going to stink up that relationship even further.
Yeah, it reminds me of something Harrison mentioned on the pod that we did. You know, people have to stop looking for the next relationship to heal what was broken in the last relationship. Mm-hmm. Like you have to work on healing and fixing whatever deficiencies, issues that you may have before you go into another relationship, because that person is not going to fix it and they're not going to heal it. Only you and God can help you fix what's wrong with you.
Agreed.
Awesome. So we'll come back to what you've already answered, but where can our listeners find more information about your work or access support for relationship-related challenges?
I don't mind redundancy and reinforcements. Like, you know, I think if I said it a million times, it would be okay. So you might have fast-forwarded the pod and didn't catch it. So here we are. And you might have ended the show before it was time. But you can find myself, Dr. Knowles Robinson, at Oak Tree on Collins Avenue, the specialty clinic, or at East Street South location.
So I will give the numbers. So I can also be found, this is Dr. Johnson Deans, at both locations. So the number for Oak Tree South is 825-4674. And the number for the specialty clinic is 802-9951. And those numbers you can use WhatsApp as well if you don't get through via call.
Awesome. Well, thank you both, ladies. This is always an interesting and engaging conversation. Thank you for taking your time out of your busy schedules to do this with us. And we appreciate having you on.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
Awesome. That was such a powerful conversation with Dr. Davina Knowles Robinson and Dr. Tamika Johnson Deans. Relationships are at the core of our emotional and mental well-being, and today's discussion shed light on the importance of recognizing red flags, setting boundaries, and fostering connections that truly support us. If you resonated with anything that we talked about today, remember that help and guidance are available. Don't be afraid to reach out for support, whether through trusted friends, professionals, or community resources. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Vital Voices. If you found today's conversation helpful, be sure to subscribe, share, and leave us a review. You can also follow us for more expert-driven discussions on health and wellness. Until next time, take care of yourself and your relationships.
We'd also like to give a special thank you to today's sponsors, Oak Tree Medical Center, Kalina Insurance Limited, and Valor Security.